Hello again, I'm Rocco, and you're listening to the Eyes Wide Open Life podcast. The episode today is very different and also very poignant. There's not a single part of our lives today that isn't touched by marketing. Every single thing we do, every single thing we are, the way we show up in the world, the way we're able to give our gifts into the world, and the way we're able to receive love and get the things that we want from life, so much of that project is dependent on this face of exchange we call marketing. And if this interests you, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about today in the episode. And I've got an incredible guest who is mind-blowing, actually, in their take, in their authenticity, and their perspectives around what's wrong and how this ought to look and how it could work in a much more aligned, healthy way. Coming right up. One of the sickest parts of the internet at the moment is marketing. How we supposed to, how we get taught to pursue and obtain attention. And we don't realize this, but so much of a human life, the way we engage and operate socially so that we can get what we want out of this life and also contribute meaningfully, especially from a place of our gifts in this world, we need to know how to market ourselves, our resumes, our social media profiles, our identity, how we actually show up. These are basically marketing, and everything about the way it's being practiced at the moment is deeply, deeply unwell. It's what I would call synthetic, non-being, soulless. It's just this hungry, sick engine that tells people what to like and then shoves it down their throat. And the only way for people, let's say you're in a, if you have a business or a business model and you're looking to put your gifts out into the world, we're all stuck with exactly the same sick marketplace or exchange of human attention and awareness. And if advertising is attention you can pay for, marketing should be engagement you can pay for. However, what marketing is at the moment is this, the sickest, most disingenuous part of everything that our Western society can cook up, especially in terms of our capitalist, consumerist, free market economy, our innovation, our consumerism, our exchange of goods and services. It's the sickest part of all of that is how marketing affects it. And if any one of us are trying to put our gifts and our talents out into the world, we are stuck using the sick exchange that already exists. And if that bothers you, and if that's one of your biggest frustrations and problems, then this episode is definitely for you. It's a long meandering start with an absolutely beautiful person, a very close friend of mine, and who you're about to meet is Kana. Kana is normally extremely vibrant, energetic, exudes vitality, and also exudes realness. But Kana's just recently come back from a long trip herself. And then, you know, has been dealing with unwell kids and grief in the home, etc. And we catch her in this conversation, very lo-fi, down-tempo version of Kana. And yet, somehow, miraculously, this is probably the best level of energy to discuss all of this so gently. Because normally she can come in not quite like a wrecking ball, but like a force of nature. And it's not the kind that's overwhelming, but it's very... it's very energetic and attractive if marketing is the itch that you're trying to scratch. But because this is such a subtle an intelligent solution or healing to the sickness that Kana has formulated and is embodying and guiding and practicing, it's actually really good that we catch her in a lower than normal energetic state. By way of formal introduction, Kana has 10 years of experience in a wide variety of roles, including administration, customer service, social media marketing, email marketing, Facebook and Instagram, social media advertising, more specifically in design, website development, copywriting, community management, team management. This includes live events, digital productions, membership creations, as well as being a former co-founder of a boutique digital marketing agency centered around feminine business principles. But as you'll hear in this conversation, Kana has evolved that business model into sort of out of the narrow lane of the divine feminine into a more well-rounded offering. Kana's history and professional experience also includes working with children diagnosed with autism. She's worked as a holistic health and eating psychology coach, and she has also fulfilled the function of director of events for Emerging Women. That platform was responsible for doing live events with speakers like Brené Brown, Arianna Huffington, Alanis Morissette, Eve Ensler, Liz Gilbert, Jane Goodall, and many, many more. The list actually just does go on. Kana is also a mother of two home birth children. So without any further preamble from me, I bring you Kana. I know this is going to be a good one because what sacrilegious vulnerability to put yourself on air now to be in your marketing persona, your brand champion persona, your alignment persona.
Well, yes. I mean, yes. And I think the conversation around that thing is, there's just like, I was thinking about what business is asking of us now. Like, there's just a whole new energy that's coming on the scene in terms of how we're supposed to do marketing anyways. So it segues into that. So maybe this is...
Wow, that's actually a really, really nuanced take. In other words, if we got you speaking now about... Exactly. Actually, can we do that? Actually, can we do that? So here's the deal. Actually, I'm coming around to the wisdom. This is it. We're going to have a recording from this place of... We're going to do both. We're not going to choose A or B. We're going to have A and B. Okay?
Yes.
Right. So let's have whatever chat we have tonight. It's very, very chill about marketing and everything we mean outside of it when we're stuck using that word. So, Kana, if this is a recording for Eyes Wide Open Life podcast, I would have given you a glowing review and introduced you from your public kudos, but can you just tell us who you are and how you got here?
You know, the word that came up in my mind just now is that said, I'm a really unique snowflake. you know, I grew up in Sweden, and as soon as I got into this world, I think I just felt like I was always participating in life on a different wavelength than most of my peers, because I was. But I didn't know that at the time, because now in retrospect, I can look back and see what was different about me. But, you know, I always had this looking at the world like, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way to do this. Like, what are you guys doing?
This was all processes, right? This was whether it was somebody dealing with an apology or queuing up at school for something, or it was everything, right?
Yeah, it was everything. It was how my parents were doing relationship. It was how my friends were solving conflict. It was, I remember being at, so Sweden is not a very religious place, but I had an affinity for the divine from a very young age, and I wanted to be confirmed, you know, because we still baptize. We do the motions, we do the things, like you go to church on Christmas and Easter, but it's like for the cultural experience. It's not so much because you believe in God or Jesus. That's not really the point. You sing the songs because it feels, you know, makes you connected to the culture.
It's cultural rather than religious, yeah.
But now that's all changing in Sweden, but that's what it was like when I was a child. And so I came in and I wanted to be confirmed. But at the same time, I was real rebellious at this point in my time. So I like smuggled a bottle of wine to the church, like to this. On the train, I'm smuggling stuff and just like have my own like rogue vision of what's going to happen on this. There was like a week long camp by a lake in Sweden. And so I was there and I would use whatever language the teenagers were using. You know, I would be like in the jargon. I would be the trying to fit in and just do the motions of like.
What was the age difference between you and the kids you were taking a marker off of?
Oh, no, we were all the same age because we were getting confirmed.
All right.
We were 15. And there were all the youth minister, you know, there were the minister and then other people there. And I would be like talking to the peers and like hanging out, and we're having dance parties and stuff like that. And we're learning about Jesus. And then, but of course I would gravitate toward the people who like the grownups. I'd be like, but really what's going on here? You know? And then the pastor was noticed. I mean, I would use a completely different language because I was very sophisticated in my use of words. My mom is a librarian. My stepdad, I grew up in the library. I read all the time. It's how I got through my life, is by having like an hour at night where I felt like I could be myself and read and learn about things that were relevant to me beyond like the drama and the trauma of my like middle school and high school and all of that. And so I would just use a completely different, like, they were like, you don't even sound like, who is this person? You know? So I would.
A lot of your social education was self-sourced, not inherited from your parents or your peers.
Yeah, it was all of it. You know, it was, there was always the sense that I'm doing this life and I'm doing my real life at night or when I'm by myself or I'm exploring. Yeah. So,
yeah. And maturity of that kind is a very deep psychological need for efficiency.
Yes.
Because what you feel like you have a very limited budget of energy, time, attention, one of those three. This is all very subconsciously, right? And your pace of maturity is because there's a want. You reached for it because of the sense of need that you had to process things more efficiently for the reduction of discomfort.
Exactly, because yeah. I was acutely aware of, I mean, I would never use those very eloquent words because that's not how I do. But yes, Rocco, that's exactly how it felt. And I had no idea that that's what I was doing, obviously, like you shared. But it was like, I was like, this is not going well. Yeah. And so that was my reality. And so I moved on I had an experience then at like, I think I have a journal from, I'm 16 or 17 and I had taken a walk in the woods. I would go in the woods a lot near my house to be able to exist, you know, in this. And I came back and I said, okay, I've decided there is a God. Don't know what it is, but I'm sure of it. And now what? You know, now what do I do? Because
okay, this is step one of the game solved. Yes, let's begin.
Yes, and mind you, saying God or Jesus, and this time to my peers or anyone in Sweden, I mean, my grandma was religious, but in my peers, It's like, this is insane. It's like medieval. It's medieval. It's like, Jesus, what? What are you even talking about? So early on. And so I didn't really disclose this. This was my own private experience. And then at the age of 19 or 20, I realized that my self-hatred was so deep, Rocco, that I could not even, my only, yeah, I know, it's, my, I was not in a good shape. I graduated.
Is that the source of your deep spiritual pursuit for redemption or salvation?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I was, so I was, at this time, I was drinking heavily, like guys, you know, pursuing all those, like I graduated top of my class because I was like, I had been really bad at school. And then one day my sister sat me down and was like, our parents are not going to tell you this, but like school is actually important. And it's what, you know, later on in life, that's how you get, you know, choices. So you might want to get good in school and you can, you know, I'm like, oh shit. Okay. But I was drinking heavily on the weekends and partying and then doing school. And so I was kind of burnt out already by the age of 19. I was burnt out by living. I was really not in good shape. But I was like,
because you were parenting yourself.
Yeah. Because I was parenting everyone. So I was a parentified child, you know, that in my family system, I was the one.
Yeah. Destined for trauma and greatness. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I was kind of burnt out and I was like, I need to learn how to love myself. So beyond like me wanting to go to university, I was like, I went on a pursuit. Like, I'm going to learn how to love myself. And that's the job now. That's why again, my
how are we going?
Huh?
How are we going so far? How are we doing?
Actually, we're going great.
That is so lovely to hear. Do you know, the adventure only really begins when that's a definite easy yes. Yes, because that's where the self-permission begins. That's where the playing begins. Because from here on out, you ask yourself, what will love look like in this moment? And then you do that. And then if you were wrong, then you say to yourself, well, honestly, dude, I know you. I love you. I was coming from love. Lesson learned. Move forward. That's it. That's it. Yeah, and now the acceleration can happen because you can really investigate or explore your curiosity with self-permission, not with morality or with validation. Beautiful. That's where it begins.
That's where it begins, Rocco. So like, it doesn't really matter. So I succeeded in my pursuit and like I did everything was in service of love. It was like that's my question to myself every day. What would love do in every situation? What would love do? What would love do? And when I finally left my marketing business 2 years ago, that's when it really was solidified, because that's when I took a stand for myself on a big, big level. And I put my money where my mouth was and I said, okay, no more of this. And so that's when the real journey began. I'm a servant of love and I'm a real person. Like I'm a human, a real human.
Yes. Yes. there's no broken algorithm running inside of fear or lack of abundance or validation by some stupid corporate hierarchical glamour fest. It's none of that shit.
Well, there was certainly that for many, many years. And that's where I was constantly being beaten down But life has always had my back, Rocco, on a huge level. Like I've always been guided, taken, like this was always my saving grace, is this still inner voice that would always tell me. And my saving grace was that I listened to it always. Like it was, I made that my authority.
Yeah, man. That's the way. Such a trust relationship. it's such a trust relationship, and that you know, that is a reasoned faith, number one. And you know, you have to face the risk like an adult, and there is risk. Yeah, and you have to face the risk like an adult, because it's not, you know, when something doesn't work out the way you expected, it's not your inner voice pulling the wool over your eyes. It was, you didn't know how much to expect, or how soon, or when, or, you know. That's awesome. That's awesome. So so now we know who you are. Now, your bona fides, you know, we'd have to make an inference here. I would have done an introduction, but that basically is your resume for how you can speak so authoritatively in the space that you speak. And that space is marketing. Although, as I said, it involves everything else except that we bundle up when we think we mean the word marketing. Yes.
Yeah, I lament. I'm like, why I talk to God, you know, in the way that I perceive the divine and our life. And I say, like, why market? I don't even want to do this. Like, what? This is the most insidious, egregious field. Like, this field sucks. It's not something that I thought I was going to be like a healer, a therapist, or something of that nature, and keep being asked to do this work. And now I'm starting to understand. So I've been doing this for 13 years, rock going one way or another. So that's when it started. So I've been really supporting, and I've had a real scientific approach to it. Like, okay, how does this thing work? First of all, how does it work in the current, you know, structure?
Current state, yeah.
How is this going? And then, okay, I absolutely hate this. Okay, so I understand now. I've broken it down to its components. Like, I understand how marketing works from a mechanical standpoint, like breaking it down into its components. And then I'm like, well, that is really causing a lot of harm, and people are really getting hurt in that process, and they're being presented as if this is how you do marketing. There's only one way, and this is the way. And that is not simply not true. And so then after I figured that out, which took maybe half of the time. And then the other half of the time was, well, it was always, again, with the two parts. Like, I'm always like, then also, what else is possible? Like, what, you know, how else can we approach this? What's a more elegant way? What's a way that feels more alive? What's a more aligned? So that's when I eventually landed at it. I used to run a marketing agency called Femenco with my partner my business partner at the time. And this started as the 11 feminine principles. Like, we're going to bring the feminine to business. And then I graduated from that because I also think that there's beyond that was a way where I called alignment marketing. So that was like where it had been more integrated with the masculine and the feminine energies together.
They needed
to come together. Yeah.
A big step in maturity that you intuited, right? Because it's not that the other project wasn't worthy. It was just a little bit more juvenile almost. And not juvenile as in something you should disparage, but juvenile as in it had to grow up out of itself. And it's a maturity arc. Yeah. Necessary stepping stone. It was a necessary stepping stone to bring the feminine into marketing to begin with. Had to be just pure stream, but now when it hits its maturation threshold, then it obviously had to mature.
Yeah, exactly. And what I call it, I tend to stay away from the, you know, those gendered words can be a little also limiting. So I call it form and flow. Form would be, you know, obviously I don't have to explain what that goes, but that's how it needs to, because the feminine on its own is chaotic. You know, and I'm not saying that the feminine is chaotic and the masculine is, you know, like, you can speak to that better and how these things work. Yes. But this was very much like, there needs to be a structure to harness the power of this water that's coming. You know, there needs to be a riverbed that could, when the rain of inspiration,
Like a guiding channel or
So that's where I have arrived. And that's now the grand experiment, Rocco. So that's where we are right now.
And it has arrived not a moment too soon. There's incredible gifted pioneers like you in so many different fields that are popping up and always they are always aligned, so perfectly aligned, because that intuition, that genius, that all of that can only come through a human being who is aligned from love, so that when the source sends the genius that we need to rescue us out of our illness, it's the appropriate antenna or the appropriate receivers that pick up that signal and are able to express it so authentically.
I love talking to you. I'm like, what he said? Yes.
Yeah. Now we're gonna go to a commercial break that I don't have. So I'm just gonna pause very quickly. I need to go get a drink. One sec. Well, I'm glad I was recording that. So to bring everybody up to speed, we're saying yet again that it takes great discomfort, great trauma to add the kind of pressure that, you know, makes beautiful souls. We don't just wake up sunshiny. That may have happened in the age of saints, but it seems for us, the kind of ones that are compelled to like carry some sort of a torch, that we earned our way there always through sort of triumph over adversity and processing the shadow and the non-being for ourselves, our generational trauma shit, our family, our ancestors. I mean, there's a lot of implied work in there to arrive at the place where you deeply love yourself and you're not confused about that. And that love becomes like a sun that wants to shine out. So we've explained yet again, that's the case with people like you. Then we discussed your, what could have been a very pedestrian journey. I mean, the more it kills your soul, the more successful you are in the algorithm. So people have a road to follow, and many of them follow that road. That's the heuristic. Mm-hmm. What am I giving to be successful? My soul. And once soul is leached out, you don't miss it. You just feel pain. And you don't know what the source of the pain is. And without soul, your pursuit tells you more is more. And so you do everything that feeds their addiction to our addiction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we said how you are looking to apply that, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And how surprised you were that marketing seemed to be the way, especially since it was such an unwell place. It seemed like such a strange place to find someone of goodwill. And yet, where else would you start cleaning up but the dirtiest place? Yeah. Where else would you send the nurse but to the most broken?
Yeah. It truly is broken, you know, yeah. But it doesn't, but it presents very shiny. It presents so confident, shiny, reasonable in a certain way. It presents like that. And that's what makes it even more confusing.
As an archetype of influence and transmission.
Mm-hmm.
As an archetype of that, marketing is behind social media. As the common essence to social media, to corporate enterprise, the engine of capitalism, the entire attractive force in that piece is marketing.
Yes. I've never really put it like that in my mind, but I'm getting the leg chills when you're talking, because it's so like, and
we market ourselves in our resumes, in our dating apps, in our social media, in the camp we live in the Twitter sphere, in the social justice virtue signaling that we do in everything. It's a marketing campaign. Can I get the likes? Can I get the outrage? Can I get the, can I downvote things I don't like?
Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense that love would want to go there, right? That's what you're saying. Love would want to go there and shine a light.
Yeah, absolutely. Love looks towards need.
Yeah. And so I have brought my what started out as a tiny little flame that is now kind of a pretty robust torch, a pretty robust fire where I can invite people to sit down with me at this fire where we can. But here's the thing, Rocco. One thing that I am getting clear on is in the old marketing way, it was like, well, first of all, the people, there's so many layers to this. So bear with me. Where we have to go venture into like the land, or, you know, we're going to like overturn a few rocks to see what, like what's crawls under there.
This is what the listeners came for. Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things that are happening is like people marketing. Like, so a lot of times, like you as a business owner, like I'm going to talk to people as like, you're an entrepreneur. And I'm going to specifically talk to the entrepreneur that is selling their soul gifts. So that's my expertise.
So you also choose people that you don't have to convince to be aligned.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't work other ways. It's to some people, this is absurd what I'm about to say and how I'm doing things. It's just like they can't even fathom. So I've come to the point where I'm just saying, okay, I'm calling the spiritual entrepreneur because they are the ones that are more likely to be the early adopters of this. And be able to make it, you know, can join the experiment with me that they have buy-in already because it relates to how they're perceiving the world anyways. Mind you, a little detour I'm going to take, as I was now traveling here recently to Guatemala, and I met some people on the airport that was very much like who I would not perceive to be interested in this. They too are getting it. They had, when truth is spoken, everybody, you know, maybe the corporate people won't, you know, it wouldn't be like appealing maybe yet to someone if I go to like present an alignment marketing campaign to a corporate.
Let me write the brief and it will.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll get there. I really think this is the future of marketing. The whole thing is about it's crumbling already. It's already dead. It's a zombie. It's a zombie walking around pretending to be alive. You know, it's not, you know, it's devoid of life force, and that is never going to be. It's never going to be successful long term. So
yes, that's you know what those very creepy images we sometimes see on the internet of like a cricket or a grasshopper walking badly, and you think, I wonder what's wrong with that thing. The next thing, this long black parasite slides out the backside. Yeah, and it turns out it was this little worm driving the machine. It wasn't really the insect. I mean, everyone's seen. Go look at that image. And really watch the whole and experience the visceral creeps that you get inside your body, and then know in your heart that the marketing that we're talking about in the world, the entire engine, the economy of attention, that black market exchange, that is what we call marketing.
Indeed. It is very true, and it is pretty sinister. But again, it has a good front, so it's a little more alluring. It's like that cricket
because it's
like,
its own
like a facelift.
It's its own essence.
Yes, it's exactly yes. So now we're getting very meta. We're like doubling down on this. But okay, I want to go back to my story here because I think it is important. So people who meet me. They know I'm onto something. It's almost impossible for people to be exposed to my essence at this point and not be moved by it in some way and kind of like be like, I can see like there's a little twinkling in their eye, but they're not really going to really be gung-ho. The people that I'm going for are the soulpreneurs, the spiritual entrepreneurs. Okay. So in the marketing sphere, how it's been presented to them. So they come to a point.
Can I reflect something, which is very important actually.
Yes.
By only going to people who would already choose it as soon as they understand means you don't have to market yourself.
Bingo.
Bingo. Because the only reason you'd have to market it is to explain to them that they needed it first. Not explain to them how to get it. What marketing should be is explaining them how to get it. If you have to explain to them that they need it, you're selling to them and they're not going to invest the same.
Yeah, and it will be a hell of a lot more of a song and dance that you have to do to get there. And I am not interested. I do like to do this.
And by definition, you wouldn't be helping. You're far more valuable helping the ones who are red hot in alignment.
Yes, and
awesome.
It's my truth. And it's way more fun, which is if you follow, you know, my hashtag that I created is called Afundance. So it's basically, how do we create abundance from having fun? That's my pursuit here.
Joy should never be in the way.
Yeah. No. Okay. So who I'm talking to, Rocco, basically is this. Someone who came in with a soul gift. They were in a family system where they were the scapegoat, the black sheep, or the martyr, or like someone who was like the caregiver of the system. Then they went through a process of cleaning that up and doing the healing work, the inner work. And then they arrived at a place where they're like, I want to use this gift. I've gone through this whole process and now I'm ready to give it to the world. Okay. So now they want, you know, they know they can't go to corporate America. They can't work over here. They want to take what they have and they want to monetize it. They want to like live off of their own gift, which is really reasonable to want to do. Like, that's how it should be, in my opinion. Like,
absolutely how it should be, because then everyone can actualize.
Exactly.
Because if everyone can try find a way to live off their gifts, they have every incentive under the sun to pursue their gifts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. And this is, I mean, mind you, this is not new or anything. This is like how I imagine, from my limited understanding of like an indigenous society, it would be like the elders would look to the child, see what kind of gifts they have. And then like they would get in a name that's associated with that and they would be cultivated into a part. And so they would be cared for. They wouldn't have to be like, well, I'm giving my gift. So
which is why they used to get a second name when they came of age.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes they would only get like a temporary name, but when they became young men, then they got given like a new name, which is kind of explained exactly what you're saying, like how they had actualized. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But they didn't have to do that in exchange for it. They didn't have to do, I'm giving my gift to one person. This person is giving me. It was the collective that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Provided their needs.
Yeah.
So this is why when I talk about alignment marketing, what we're creating is a marketing ecosystem. So we're creating more like there's a move away from the one, you know, the hierarchical to a person to like, again, we're going more towards a more collective way of doing things and a more collaborative way and a more ecosystem, more mimicking nature and cycles and this kind of thing, which I'm sure your audience, knowing you, are very keen to be in alignment with. That makes sense to them. Again, this is not.
So not widget selling, not pipeline selling. It's more engagement valued. Yeah.
And we'll get to that. So does that make sense? Like how this person is, how it's different from the other way, you know, that the old way. So, and who I particularly serve in this moment, you know, who I think will be the early adopter will be this person. And they are poised. If they have gone through that, they're poised to want what this is, because it's aligned with
those criteria that you've had are just basically to select for optimal movers.
Yes.
So that you can invest. Yeah. So you can invest your precious time the most effectively over the absolute correct candidates.
Exactly. And it's me, basically, what I'm telling you is alignment marketing in action.
It's genius.
And then everything else becomes so easy, you know.
Genius. That is genius. The psychological genius is the genius, actually. Your criteria, how did you arrive at that? Because not everybody might understand why I say it's genius.
How I arrived at that criteria is by working with people. So it was how I was, it was just really a trial and error kind of a situation where I was just like seeing who's resonating with this, who's doing this. But then it was my neuroatypical
analyzing. I totally understand another layer because they had chosen in their wounding to do parenting. It meant that they actually had always chosen in their light to do a parenting role. They just did it from a very weak place. And then they had to first heal that. And then they had to realize that their actual vocation all along was parenting. That's why they stepped up in the beginning and chose the wound.
You mean like reparent, like the like
parent? Yeah, because
like
you said the people like that you selected.
Yes, the parentification.
Yes, because of their shadow experience. The only reason they had the shadow experience was because they had the capacity to do the role.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But first time. Yeah. And then they had to heal that.
Yes.
And then they had to be seen, you chose this in your soul all along. I know it's hard to see, but that was the choice that you made to be able to be here. Now go forth and mother. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And so then imagine this person. Okay. Imagine this person going on this arduous journey of healing, like really committing themselves. Like this shit is hard. And then they're like, okay, I'm ready to give my gift. Like this is like the most precious thing that now they understand. They love themselves. Mm. They have done this work. They have this beautiful thing that they're offering. And they go to marketing and go, okay, now how do I share it with the world? And then they go, you need a funnel. You need a social media.
And they try to burn the soul out of them, leech the soul out of them.
Mm-hmm. So that is a very...
And do you find them when they're already burnt?
Usually.
Oh, wow. So it's a double rescue. You rescue the ones that rescued themselves. Yeah.
So let me explain this to the listener so that they can understand what you're saying here now. So what Rocco is asking me is like, when do people come to me? Have they already been through the ringer with
the ugly system? Yeah.
You know very well the systems, but just to like make it very abundantly clear. So usually what happens is a lot of the times, you know, most 90% of the time, they won't find me first. And this is what I'm hoping to change by being on the, by making myself now. I've been working only word of mouth. You know, I've never had to market myself because I don't need to, but I'm doing it now as a service. I'm becoming more visible because I'm ready myself to endure.
Yes.
What that might be. I can find joy in that. I can find it to be, I can do it in a way that I feel safe doing it, that I'm modeling a new way. I'm participating with some of the existing marketing ways, but in a way that is safe and good for me. Like it doesn't leech away. It does a little bit sometimes, but I can work with it. I have the tools to be
to integrate and process shadow. Yeah.
Yes. So I can be on social media now. I can do the things and I left that whole world. I never have to do it. Because my work is so good that it just, you know, they just spread, you know, people share the results and then other people come to me. And I think I'm so clear in the unseen world, my signal is so strong, like it just allows, and I don't have a lot of resistance to allowing them to come into my field because I've done so much work on receiving and, and working.
There's two things I have to share with the audience now. So the first thing, I'll jump to the second one. What you've just said now is you don't get blocked or resistance from algorithms. Yours tends to somehow slip the net. It doesn't have the understanding. So let me explain to everybody what that means. Genius works iteratively. Genius creates in versions, version one, version two, version three. So Kana would have been operating on one version and learning her school fees. And now when you evolve, you've formulated a version two, which is a staggered leap, order of magnitude improvement. And so you tighten your game in a big step change.
Mm-hmm.
And, exactly. And why Connor's not getting blocked is everything that's left brain, everything that's non-being, has got no concept of the vectors of movement that essence, right brain has. And so it would stop it if it knew it, but it's got no context because it's got no context of essence.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely, it cannot touch.
Essence.
Can't touch it.
The marketing intelligence in the world that exists, that drives all marketing we understand, is a completely synthetic intelligence.
Yes, it is.
It's not organic. It can't detect or understand or process essence.
Exactly. And so now here we are. So then what ends up happening is the person has usually, very rarely, they come to me first. But so usually they've gone through the ringer. So they've pursued something already. They've tried to fit into this and they have found it completely devoid of actually working for them. Like they've either invested. So my latest client, I'll give you two examples. My latest client that I worked with, so she had been wanting to give her gift. She's brilliant. She's a brilliant trauma healer. She has accolades up the wazoo. Like she's actually the real deal. She's been through the personal journey to back up her end. She has the professional. So she's just, okay. Her name's Eva Medicina. Find her. EvaMedicina.com. So
this episode is brought to you by...
Anyway, so she just had been told, so she was very sincere in her pursuit of like wanting to share her beautiful work in the world. And she found someone through, you know, I'm assuming a Facebook ad where it was like, she was told like, hey, here's a funnel.
We've all been tempted to do that. We've all been tempted to do that. You know, I know so many beautiful people who were just trying so hard to make a living out of their gifts. And they just didn't know, you know, when you know better, you do better. But when you don't know better and you think, oh, well, everyone else is doing it, maybe this is the way, man, we've all sat just, you know, all of our versions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all those versions of our efforts to do whatever we've been doing in the world, they were steps in maturation and you had to get here because you also had to go through the discomfort of the sickness and then go, surely, 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 surely there's a better way and look for it and look for it and look for it and realize how much you had to change your eyes to be able to see it. And you had to get here. It's a ripening. So anyone who's feeling any judgment or guilt about having done the wrong thing, there's no such thing as the wrong thing. These are stepping stones towards growth. And they are the way we learn that there is a better way.
Well, think about it this way. Like, imagine you wanted to make a pasta sauce and you had a recipe. Like, you go online and you find a recipe and it says, okay, you need tomatoes. You would go to the store and you, like, there's the tomatoes, the cucumbers. You would just have to buy the things that were available to you. There's no judgment here. There has literally been no other
option. Yeah, that's very important. Yeah. It's
have to get rid of the shame, and that's what so I have like a marketing rehab center. First, I like undo shame that people feel. Yeah. Like I care for them. I say to them, look, no, this is good. You didn't make, you know, there. And I always I say there's in every experience, like what did you learn in this experience? Like we're gonna mine this what seems like a horrible, terrible thing, and we're gonna mine it for all the gold that's in here. And like, how do we extrapolate all the things you don't want to do? Like, what have you learned about yourself?
I hate to say it, but their experience provides them a very, very clear shadow yang so that they can really form and, you know, shape and trust the boundaries of what they are doing because they know what wrong looks like. You know, it's actually a hugely informative you know, it's beautiful to say, yes, I just intuited this. It just means somewhere along the line you inherited the intelligence or the genius that could preconceive the shadow, the danger, the risk, the non-being. But the only way to learn that as a soul is to have gone through it once. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they go through it and they realize like this is not how they I have yet to meet someone who remember the criteria that I laid out. I've yet to meet a spiritual entrepreneur that can absorb into like the regular marketing world and make it work. I mean, without a cost, you know, or you know, some people have made it work, but there's also another shadow at play, which is there's a lot of, you know, this is the sad truth is that the people who make it, imagine like the spiritual entrepreneurs that actually have made it to some sort of top in terms of a list, a following, a social media influencer, a 6 to 7 figure business, they are usually have a shadow side, or they're a little bit unwell. They have a more narcissistic tendency that would allow them. And again, I'm not a therapist, so I'm not diagnosing them. I'm just saying like their survival pattern.
No, no, you're a detective. You can see it. You know it. And it's there by definition, because the only reason that they could do so successfully is because they were in alignment, which means they're in alignment with existing shadow. Yes.
Exactly. They're just like, and then, but then what makes it complex for us
can be in alignment with existing shadow.
Yeah, that's a beautiful quote. And it's true. They are. So they're in alignment with that. And then, but then they say, but look, but it's confusing, right? So it adds a layer of confusion to this thing, because then they say, okay, well, then those people have then adopted the same shadow principles, but then put it a goddess / you know, archetypal spin on it. Or, you know, they put a layer on top of the shadow, Rocco.
Yeah.
So it's the cricket, right? But that looks now like a divine goddess essence. It looks like, well, if you want to make it big, you know, I'm speaking like from women in this case, it's like, if you want to make it into this, like come into my divine goddess essence chamber and do the sovereign success system and pay me $33,333. And I will now show you how to do the same thing. So that's the hardest part for me is when you've taken some of the beauty of the world that I see and just like merged it with the old. So that's like that's like a little bit of a Frankenstein of that. Like that's a little bit of like that's a very nuanced.
It's almost quite, it's quite perverted actually. In a way, because you know you've got almost everything except the avarice, and like you know that still means that there's not the right amount of heart here. The right amount of heart is always generous, is always compassionate, is always it's never coin operated, right. Which means you're not in the sweet spot, right in the heart of hearts. You're not.
Yeah. And I think I would argue that the opposite of that, like for men, or it would be someone like who's taken like a stoic approach to its like, you know, distorted a stoic approach, or like the Jordan, you know, the like hyper masculinized kind of solution where it's like also has some of the things that would render a masculine leader. So you're following these people that have like the like sort of the strappings of what we're looking for, like a new type of leader, but then it's, you know, it has a perversion, it has something, an underbelly. So
well,
that's just,
so, you know, so sad, because most of the underbelly for the ones that seem really convincing is mm-hmm. actually not a shadow underbelly. It's just immaturity.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's two kinds. There's one with a shadow yes. dark power, and there's, you know, one with unprocessed shadow, and there's one that simply isn't mature yet. And what you're really looking for is the one that is mature, because maturity can handle whatever shadow exists, and shadow always exists. Until we become beings of light, there's going to be nuanced bits of shadow. And the only thing that can really handle that is a mature adult in leadership stance.
Yes. And that's what I'm hoping that we're bringing to the table here is a reason, faith, and mature approach. And this, for me, it's like the mature approach is the most generative. It's the most fun. Like it actually becomes so satisfying. Like it's because you can.
Yes. It satisfies. It scratches so many itches.
Yes, it does.
Mm.
So that doesn't mean it can't be fun. Like, because that's what my thing is. Like I find it's so sober, and in that sobriety, it becomes so joyful. Like, and so this is where, so one thing that I teach.
Yeah. Wow. It's the only way. Like, you know, I'm a mature adult. I don't want the things that a younger person in my position would want, but I do want to have peers, which means I want to be able to showcase and appreciate that about me, which is mature. That isn't about self-aggrandization, because you want to know, hey, is there anybody else that's in this game, of this neck of the woods, of this age in their life? But the only way you'd be able to exude a brand publicly of something that was that clean in authenticity and stillness would be in the search for others like you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, someone in my like shaping just would literally, the antithesis of that is looking for any limelight.
Yes.
Yes. And it's just because I'm lonely. You know, in that space, I'm not lonely. You know, we don't realize so many relationships would be saved. So many relationships would be saved if people just realized that sometimes we're lonely for a certain thing that is very rare in this world. And it's not because we don't appreciate the company we're in. They can't understand how deep that longing is for that one itch that we want scratched. And that's why real authenticity can be very lonely, because you can't not be who you completely are in your soul, but it has social costs.
Definitely does. And it has on paper. So let me talk to you a little bit about how I perceive, how I've help people cultivate like an awareness around like who they want to be as a business entity and how they're going to relate that to making money and how that relates to a community. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. I think that's the most, I mean, because now that we've like established the credibility, like what does pay dirt look like? You know, what does it look like when the fruits start growing and everyone's getting, you know, it's love in action, or, you know, in prod. What does that look like?
Yeah. So the idea here is, and this is like, I tried to make this point maybe like 20 minutes ago, but again, this is such a nuanced and complex landscape that it takes a while to get to any kind of point, because it's so rich and it's so, like I said, we have to turn over many stones to like really, and that's, I want that. I want to be in the conversations where we get to have the nuanced, complex understanding, because it feels, that's the meal that I, that feels like the nourishment that I need. Like that's the whole. Yeah. So in the so what people are typically told is like, do my method. Like I've arrived at a certain juncture, like in my career, like I'm a marketing professional. I have figured out how to make a funnel, a program, a course, a system. And you come into my field, you pay me X amount of dollars. Like usually it's a big ticket, it's a big price tag, because I have figured this out. So you just do my system. And then you too will reap the benefits. But first you got to pay me I'm the gatekeeper of this, because I made this system. It's called, you know, so this is in marketing. They teach you how to make the irresistible offer. So it has to be some sort of like, you solve, you know, you name it a certain thing and you put the price tag and you present it this way. And this is how people are going to be willing to part with that now, much cash.
That's quite a lot of light, but just there is shadow that's hard to notice.
Yeah. Now, this is what I'm now is not so awesome, because
exactly, because nobody realizes that it can be really beautiful and a fair way to get your share back, but it can completely immediately be synthesized by non-being.
Well, here's what I think would be relevant to your conversation, Rocco, where I would say it would render the person purchasing it a little infantile. Like it would rob them of something where they
it talks down to you, it talks down to your soul.
Well, it's to say, well, we're going to walk El Camino, but or you can buy the picture book that I wrote when I went El Camino. I took these pictures.
You could harm the richest experience Oh wow, man, this is such genius. You know what? Yeah, wow, I am blown away by the level of genius. Blown away. Do you know what the thing is? Is this is the level of genius that I have across so many domains. And I'm so lonely because I can't really like get excited with people about nerding out about this sort of stuff in so many other domains. But I know nothing about your domain. So when you tell me, I go, oh my God, yes, fuck, that's how it works. But I could never look, I could have never looked in that door, never. I kept looking in there and I just, it was upside down. And you know why? Because there's two vectors, there's two windows, right? Into need. And the synthetic opens the one portal to need, and love opens the other portal to need. You know, you need to receive in order to give. And there's more than one kind. And so both of them will always draw, 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 draw. Although the one always comes at a cost.
Yeah, a big cost.
And the cost is soul every time.
Yes, and then that would apply to the world of business and marketing. So when people do buy into a system, sometimes I can't be the judge to say that it doesn't work for some.
Yeah. Okay,
it can work for some people, and I think that's great. You know, like I'm not saying everybody who does this is some kind of bad person or whatever. No, but for a certain kind of person that I tend to be. That I tend to serve, okay, then this cost is too high and it doesn't work for a various amount of
It just brings non-being soullessness into the world, yes.
It does. It brings a lot of soullessness. And even if you, so what ends up happening is the same mechanism as someone who think, oh, when I lose the weight, it's going to be better. When I'm famous, it's going to be better. No, it devoid, you know, we need to take the steps and be curious. So what my approach does is
Can I please stop you? Because I think it's important to say that there's many powerful, very altruistic people that are doing a lot of good in the world that are unfortunately unaware that they operate like this. And not to single out someone like Tony Robbins, but no one can argue that he's aligned, powerful, effective, hugely instrumental in change and progress in people's lives. But unfortunately, in those kinds of expressions, there is soul being lost.
Yes.
In the exchange.
And why it's being lost is because it's not as easy. It's easier to peddle or sell something formulaic that says, if you do this, you're going to get it from A to point B, and here's how you do it, and so on.
20 steps, the 7 rules of X.
Yeah, And that's like, it's very compelling psychologically. And so you feel like you're participating in something, and you are. But I'm saying,
well, if we're all unique, if we're all individual, there can't be a systemized way. The systemized way is the very rough outline, but the best way is the intuitive way.
Yes. And that's really where, so. This is where I have ended up after all this time, is that I'm providing some kind of, so all the things that I do, none of it is cookie cutter. There's not a single, even like the offerings that I have, none of them are cookie cutter. Not two people ever get the same. And I've struggled, Rocco, with this because I have not been able to figure out like, how do I then create a container that
I've been sitting on top of all this IP. Just think about my situation about how to do psychological self-repair. And I'm talking about thorough. Physical, emotional, psychological, mental, ancestral, the whole kit and caboodle, right? Mm-hmm. People kept asking me, what is step one? What is step one? What is step one? There is no step one. When you're doing yoga or when you're doing jiu-jitsu, there's a series of moves that you, step one is doing everything that everyone else does badly. That's step one. Step one is everything. So it's basically like a dojo, an academy, where you go, I can't tell you by practicing arm locks and practicing hip throws now how to play jiu-jitsu. You can't explain it. You played jiu-jitsu by getting on the mat and working out the verbal explanation until it's integrated into your muscle memory. There is no step one, step two, step three. That is a repetition. You keep coming to class, you keep leveling up. So if you wanted to take your stuff, it has to be condensed into essence, and they don't all have the same vector. They're rhizomatic. You can't put them in a, you can put them in a Wikipedia, but you couldn't put them in a table of contents. Step one, step two, step three, step four.
Well, I do feel like it's aligns pretty well with what how I solved for this problem. So I just launched, I'm launching actually next week a membership. It's called the Alignment Sanctuary. So it has my, it has multiple layers to it. So, and I don't know if it's relevant for me to explain it, but I think I want to explain it how I arrived at that particular model to as an explanation of what, how I think this could be done and how we need to be approaching this as an individual. So for me, I've been in the game long enough that I know what the problems are that the people that come to me need to solve. So I know what they tend to grapple with, you know, and that's really where I don't think that anyone can sidestep like the process where you're kind of with your people. Like you're not going to come up, like people come to marketing expert, like, how do I say this? I'm like, ask your people. You know, what are they saying they need? You know, what do they say? Like you have to like kind of be in life long enough that you actually have something to give back. Like, don't try to sell something if you are not good at it. You know, like it's like you need an actual product. You need an actual thing that you're selling. And there's no shortcut. So people that come to me, they usually have, you know, they have enough wisdom. Like I'm not going to help anyone that doesn't have something that actually gives some back, you know,
that gate that you check is they can basically articulate what their gift is.
No, they can never articulate it. That's
so
what I help
with. How do you know that they have one? Because a lot of people offer meditation and healing and all sorts of things, and it's just because they believe they can or they felt like they wanted to.
Yeah,
that's very, very different.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you?
Yeah. So what I think it does. So here, this is okay. This is a nuanced question and it has a nuanced answer. So there's no real way for me to say if someone is ready or not. Like I can't say, well, you need to go through Carlos 10 checkpoints to see if you have a gift.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But I can be as specific as I want to be. Like, so for me, it's about, so on my sales page that I'm selling this, I've shared it with you.
Yes.
It repels the wrong people, the people that don't have a real need for like, I want systemic change. I'm not interested in a world where Karna just makes
sense. How did you do that intuitively again? Or did you have to work it out formulaically and say, these are the people I want to repel. This is the neuro-linguistic turn of phrase that will do that. Or was it all just intuitive?
It was very much like it was very guided. You know, I work when I'm inspired to work. Like these things come through inspiration a lot of the time. So like I'm in the life, I'm just like in the trenches all day, every day. Like I'm showing up every day in the dojo and I'm doing the work every single day. And yeah. I have a need or I have a desire. I'm like, show me, what do I say to these people? Like, I have the questions first. How do I write something that is going to repel the wrong people? And how do I write something that's going to attract the right people? And how do I say this? Like, I'm just constantly in question.
Wow. Wow. That's basically living in prayer.
Yes, exactly. That's how I phrase it. Living, it's a prayerful state. Yeah.
So instead of this bullshit of Catholicism that says you only pray when you want something and it's actually kind of selfish, you go, yeah, I want all of these things, but I want them because of this great gift that I want to pour out in the world.
Yeah. So it's like you're lamenting. You're like, you're on your knees when some days you're in it. And then one day it's like inspiration shows up at your doorstep and I just write. And it's like all of it came out at once.
So fascinating how you've intuited this. I have to teach people basically, just so everyone knows, this is the heart, the essence of Kabbalah. The essence of Kabbalah is, Kabbalah means receipt in Hebrew. And it's receipt of the wisdom, which is that everyone is born as a will to receive. And then later on, you realize that someone else is giving. And then you start wanting to give because you want the gift of the giver, not just the gift of the receiver. And then later on, you evolve and you start realizing that all you can do is receive with grace. And then it's got steps that go all the way up. And the final one is pure bestowal. But one of the stepping stones to get to pure bestowal is you realize the absolute necessity of loving yourself enough to get the best care and love and nurturing for yourself, because that is what is going to make you be able to give your gift the most optimally. And you're so committed to giving your gift, you want to do it well. And it makes absolute sense to love the shit out of yourself. Then you are a healthy node of giving and receiving. And it's a major, major step of the soul. And the assumption in Kabbalah is always that it's the step that you eventually get to. And what you are beginning with is people who are able to get there. Wow.
And that's what I always say. I say, I got the receipt. So I've been in, I say, that what I call the fruits, you know. So once I feel, I know.
Wow, it's man.
So good to be here together, isn't it? It's so wonderful to be here together.
It's unbelievable, actually, that step of that path can be attained organically. Wow. That's miraculous, actually. That's miraculous. See, people knew that this was happening spontaneously in the wild. They would rewrite Kabbalah. And I don't mean that lightly. Wow.
Well, you asked me who I was, and so I started off that.
Wow.
Because I just feel like...
I don't get stumped easily.
Well,
that is, I actually got to take my hat off. I'm one of the most, hands down, most gifted geniuses I've ever met in my life, in very obscure ways that doesn't track in, it doesn't, I know it is. And I know because I'm so lonely and no one understands what I'm trying to say. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm talking down at the fucking shallow end of the gene pool. And I really just wish everyone would get over themselves because, oh my God, the world is waiting. And it is so much more magnificent and incredible than you can possibly imagine. And the gift is imagination. Imagination, the price of imagination is being able to get your fucking self out the way for long enough to just be curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And let me tell you what. I know I'm in the ways that, and I am blown away by the ability to hit that level of attainment in something that's considered like ninth Dan or red belt, basically in jiu-jitsu, red belt attainment. And you just do that in the wild. No one would understand that that's possible. It's pretty impressive. Anyway.
Thank you, Rocco, for witnessing me and my pursuit. You know, that this is all that I care about. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care about marketing. I don't care. I care about humanity. I care about a human being rehumanized.
Yeah, and you actually have no right to leave marketing, because that's so clearly where the healing needs to happen. And the healing isn't like a ministry. It's just the little force of nature that's just going to grow.
Yeah. And with what you're saying, it's so, I've had the craziest, I have the teachers, Rocco, like I have two teachers that are two moms of two autistic kids who has no, you know, they don't have a big ministry or anything, but I've been so thoroughly loved by two people who dared to learn how to love themselves, and they took me under their wing and mothered me.
because only people who can love autistic children can love true genius.
It's very, there's some intersection, and this is why we need each other, and this is why these kids are important, and there's so many layers to that too. But like this is why I love what I love life, and I think that I think this is actually true for everyone. Like, I don't know, I got way blessed, Rocco. Like somehow I got real beaten up and I got real blessed, and by those two things happening at the same time, this was able to occur in the wild,
as
you say.
That's alchemy, sister. That is exactly what alchemy is. You take incredible crucible and an incredible like potential, and you.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why this, you know, by being this chalice, by being this, by this intersection of this, I would like to. That's why I decided to do the Alignment Sanctuary, because I think that. It's not so much, yes, the methodology that I teach in there, like I have a course inside of the membership, there's steps you have to take through, but the real gift is by being together in a safe space and being able to be curious together, exactly as you're saying. It's me saying, they come and say, well, how do I make a freebie? And I'm going, well, who are you? What's going on? You know, then my curiosity peaks and I tell you, like, here's the best way to do it, but what about you? Does this feel right to you? Does this resonate? Oh no, I hate doing those. I fucking hate freebies. It doesn't feel good. Okay, well, what else is possible? What else? And what's under there? You know, it's just this.
Yeah, man. You're basically describing jujitsu. That is the spirit of jujitsu. Jujitsu isn't, there's no end in mind. The ongoing unfolding is just, what can we unfold in the universe? The universe is like a origami puzzle. That you only see the beauty of when you unfold, and it's a constant unfolding. Exactly. But you need the origami skills to do the unfolding, not to do the folding.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so this is my blog, incidentally, is called Unfolding Rocco, as you know.
Yeah, I keep getting surprised when that intersects, because I didn't say it this time in segueing or name dropping.
But because that's what it came to. As I'm on this process, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just unfolding. It's just unfolding.
Oh, wow, man.
This is just unfolding. You know, we're just showing up every day.
Wow. Yeah, that is
fun, right?
I love that. I absolutely love that. What an inspired name.
Yeah, what the first part of it is basically me writing down all the shit that I've been through, just so people can see, like, it's okay to be human and have genital, you know, I have herpes, I was raped, I did this, I was swindled, I fucked someone over, I got, you know, it's like all this stuff where I was like, okay, humanity, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Like, it's...
No, everyone, it absolutely does not matter. You know, they're the things that so many people live with so much...
The essence, and that's the point of this. Okay, so I'm just saying, hey, here's me like bearing my humanity and the things that we obsess about as like, this is where we hold on to it. This is where our shame prison lives, you know?
Yeah.
And then when we break the spell of that, and it's like, now all of a sudden, like the world appears around us. And that's why you and I, maybe the invitation is to lead people back to the beauty. I mean, there's so much going on here. And that's what happened to me when I was resensitized. When I healed my shame and self-hatred and all this stuff, it's like resensitizing to the beauty that is everywhere and the gifts and the simple joy of being alive. But there's so much pain that you have to process to be able to get to that. And I'm just saying, okay, well, this is why I'm assuming you did the dojo and I'm doing the membership, which is an ongoing container. Because the invitation is stay for a month, stay for your whole life. I don't know how long. And I don't know how long this is going to take. And I'm not pretending that this is a course or anything. I'm just saying I'm inviting you into a space that feels safe, that we can do this together, blending 13 years of experience. So the idea is I would, at least if you have some questions, I can give like reason, experienced guidance. But at the end of the day, that person has to be the one saying, this feels true for me. Mm. Like this resonates with me. Like there's an opening, like my body relaxes here. I'm not, you can't, I want, don't want anyone to do anything in the realm of business and marketing and from a place of contraction. Like they have to get to a place of opening. So that's where I just want to be together until that place occurs, you know, and that can take, it's going to be every single person in there is going to have a different experience.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Again, it's a, like an idea of genius my wife actually came up with. She worked, she's an expert in Agile, which is one of these rare bits of super aligned genius out of corporate. It's just so left field. But it basically is a way of arriving at that intuitive alignment that you were talking about iteratively as a constructive coach. So you're not just fluidly asking what the vibe is. There's actual way of creating subjectivity, objectivity, metrics that are completely organic, not synthetic at all. And basically it follows like a lunar cadence. You know, you go through the peak and then you come to the lull. And at the end, there's this like new moon period where you sit with your reflections and you ask, but it's a growing body of shared understanding and shared knowledge and shared complexity. And you get opportunities to say at the end of each cycle, what would I keep doing? What would I stop doing? What would I start doing? So that it never becomes a delta. I can or can't work with this person. I'm out. It's how can we work together?
Okay. So now you're segueing into the third component that I want to just talk to, which is about how marketing is now going to go from a single, you know, a one person sport to a group effort, you know?
Yes.
So what we've been trained in this stuff, it's like, okay, you make yourself a brand, like you make yourself like become the expert, and then like people flock to you at your feet and they buy your thing. And you need to have a team, or you need to understand how to market yourself individually. Like you're responsible for that. So each person goes, okay, oh, well, I need to present myself in this way, and then I'm going to hire so-and-so. So most people in our world right now who are successful at like as a coach or anything like spiritual teacher or whatever, the privilege that these people have had to get to that point is immense. It's usually people have, when people who make it, they had the, like, let's say they had $50,000 to spend on a brand, you know, a photo shoot and all that stuff to make them look good. Or they might be that they have connections because they went to this school. So like, there's no such thing. Like in this case, what you're witnessing is just, it's not hard to hire someone to make yourself look like something and then make people buy it, you know, if you have the money and the resources.
So it's authenticity in everything except essence.
I don't know if that's the point that I'm making in this, I mean, in this particular conversation. Right. So what I'm trying to get to now is that we're pretend, like people are comparing themselves to people, and this person who's at the top, they say, right. Well,
actually, I do understand what you're saying. Sorry, I get it. Yeah.
Okay, so
it just means our universal frame of reference was so miscalibrated by what was right, what was good, that even the people who were genuinely trying to be good, their compass was so unrealistic.
This is the point I'm trying to make. So bear with me for a second. So people that we now look up to, they are let's say they're a coach of some kind, or like they're a business, let's say this business coach, this. So yes. They have a really good skill set, but usually they ended up there is that they were able to hire someone. They had the resources
to
make them look good.
Yeah, celebrity factor.
Celebrity factor, but or they had some existing privilege that would allow them to end up on the top. So, but this person is saying, but they're not pretending to that. They're pretending, I was just an expert and I just arrived.
So they set the expectation bar for everyone at an unattainable place.
It's 100% undebatable because this person is starting like, oh, well, I have $100 in the bank account. In fact, I don't know how to pay my bills. So how am I? These are not the same playing field. And like, and then there's like the American dream, the make the impossible American dream all over again, where you project just something hustle. That's not true. It's the same thing as like trickle down economics. Like we just going to make up a concept that sounds good. That has no bearing in reality. That doesn't actually work. That has been disproven, but whatever it is, it's like this thing, it's like, oh no, I'm just an expert because I'm just really good at what I do. But no, it actually was because you had an uncle and you had this $50,000 and you had all the stuff to make yourself look that way. Okay. So this is a comparison game. So I'm saying this is not real. This is an illusion of how people got to a level of like attained, you know, people who are bestsellers. They buy their Amazon. They're able to like buy someone who tells them to be on, okay, you pay me $20,000. I'm going to get you on all these podcasts. I have a list, you know, I was able to have enough money to do Facebook ads. So I got a list. So now that list is currency. So I get to play with this other top dog. And by playing with that top dog, I'm accessing their pool. So everyone with privilege, basically.
Yeah. It's like like a trading economy. Yeah.
Exactly. Or there's like two people that started from zero, but that's fine. But they're not really that relevant because we're lucky usually. There's luck. You know, people don't like to talk about that, but I love talking about luck because it's like they were in the right place at the right time at some point, and but you can't formulate that. But that person couldn't say, well, do my six.
Yeah, but luck is just karmic alignment, right? So exactly. It was easy for you to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was somehow more because that was aligned with their life.
Absolutely.
They were in Eden, and then they say, well, there's seven steps I took. That is irrelevant.
Yes, your seven steps are just
depending on what I'm like doing this.
And yes. And you know, this is exactly the same criteria with gurus, and some of them do achieve a form of enlightenment, but if you can't leave a trail behind you that actually tracks onto reality, then you a kook, and somebody has to drink some Kool-Aid to enjoy your journey.
Yes. I come to I'm saying, okay, cool. Thank you for all those people. Like everybody is doing their best. Everybody is doing their own path. Like there's no like these people are bad. You know, none of that shit. We don't have to do that, but it doesn't work. That's the point I'm making. It doesn't work.
Actually. It works only for once.
Yes. They work for one or a few, and it's not a sustainable cooperative experience, you know, and this is where it's where I'm going away. I'm veering off of the path of like individual success. Cause I think that was always a fallacy because we're all interdependent. And that's why I call it a marketing ecosystem, because within an ecosystem, all organisms and animals and plants, they all are interdependent and they all have a function. And so what I'm also trying to, this is my dream. Which is like, okay, I invite people into this. I'm creating some sort of a community where I'm teaching something, where it's not a linear path, where they actually get to be curious about themselves. So they're crafting their path with actual guidance and love and support and belief. And they're crafting their path. But the bigger dream for me is how do we collaborate? Like, where is our needs and desires like overlap? And that's like where you were talking about me, where you were saying, hey, it's hard. I don't want to be my own. I don't want to be out there too hard and like be my own megaphone.
I'm yet again blown away because over the last month, I've developed exactly the same business model.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you.
Wow. And I've like already spoken to a bunch of people. In fact, that was the stream A, stream B, stream C I was talking to you about. We're in stream A on provision that we are helping to build streams C everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
The systemic change has to be part of it. The ecological
well-being. Exactly right. And the criteria is alignment and discernment.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And that's it. So what I think I can do, and then I'm bringing on these people that have this sort of alchemical magic of having this gift of able to pair people. So that's one of my business partners. So she just does that naturally. It's a wonder to watch. And that's why we all need each other's gifts. And you know how much more fun and easier it's going to be.
I could actually feel my chest, like a new feeling opened up that wasn't there, to say I can tell people what I need. Just tell them what I need. Hi, everyone, this is what I need. Okay. How can we help?
And so part of that is I'm going to bring in you there. So I'm going to share your work there. And so this is already started.
Imagine just those are your people. Yes, those are my people. People that operate like that from a place of extremely high intelligence, those are my people.
And those are my people.
Wow, and man.
We couldn't articulate this last piece so elegantly as you have. I mean, it's basically what we practice, but I'm looking around and like I'm like a child trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, and I don't know how to articulate up until now what the criteria is. So I'm coming at it, and the best way I got to was maturity. Mm. Maturity, but it's not just I can look after teenagers. It's I completely can look after myself, completely. And man, that is the criteria. That is it. Because I say words like they have to be an adult. You know, that's my code word for that. Or they have to be mature. And what it means is an adult is I am responsible for myself. You know, in
well, and that's I think what it does. What I liked the reframe you just said. You say I am responsible for myself. So those are the people that I want. Self-responsible. Yes. Sometimes they can't. You get to a point where you need someone else.
Correct. Correct.
But that's there's a self-governing, like there's a self, like there's a deep understanding that nobody else is coming.
Yes.
Like I ultimately we're all alone, and ultimately we need to take responsibility. Like there's nobody who's going to.
You can operate via consent. Yes.
But exactly, this is a consensual model. That's a very big word in this.
Absolutely it's key.
And so I call it consensual marketing too, as well. Like this is part of the framework, like the language that I use.
You know, that's also been the absolute initial fundamental principle. All my online stuff, all my one-on-ones, all my teaching.
Right.
Step one, explain to them what an adult is, explain to them what consent is, give them a choice, and it's only an enthusiastic yes or it's not on. Yes.
Exactly. And so that's the experiment. So I want experiment.
This is the experiment. Go on then. Tell us about it. Yes.
So today is July 4th, 2023. Okay. So right now I have 0 members in my membership. I have 10. So right now it's only for women. And later on, I think it's going to be something different. But for this particular thing, it's women in there. And other like, you know, if people identify as women, they're more than welcome. It has no problem with that. But I have 0 members right now. There's 10 like super supporters in there who are like my people. And so now the experiment is on. So I'd like to do this again in like 6 months and see, was it possible for me to do this in this way that I imagine it? Like, is it possible for me to then just go out and tell the people that I love and then love me that say, hey, I have a need and I have an offering. And like, if you know someone who wants to be in here, so that's what I'm going to be doing for the next whatever months and see if I can prove my own hypothesis that this is possible. So I would like to be able to do it without ads or whatever, but maybe I will. I mean, this is up to inspiration now. It's not up to me. So
Just try.
Yeah, exactly. I will
give yourself permission to do the wrong thing because it's a ripening for the world as well.
Exactly. Yes.
And sometimes you can be doing both, you know, but just put it into the field, you know, and just put it into the field, put it into the field.
I do have to give myself permission. Yeah. It doesn't need, it's not like a thing right now that needs to be paying the bills.
Yeah.
I have other things for that. Like it really can do its own organic thing. And I think it's an interesting point wherever we are to be able to do an experiment together.
So honored to know you, man. Seriously, that is just such an impressive specimen of a human being. You know, if human beings are supposed to be anything, it's people with great talent, great conviction, great resolve, and great heart. And like that, to me, defines a great soul. I like that. Yeah, man. You know, and it can be infectious as well, because the reason most of us shy away from leadership is because we think it's all duty. And it's also a great reward.
There is nothing better for me than for someone to like having this conversation with you and for seeing you light up about the things that I care about that I've been like dedicating my life to.
Oh, it's genius.
It's so wonderful for me. It's like, oh, It's just really, well, you know what it is? It's like when you're a kid and you like have found a rock and it's like really cool and you go and be like, check out the cool rock. Like, I just love that I can feel like that sense of like,
yes, yes.
Oh, wow, this is so cool. Like it goes to innocence also.
That's it. And that's what I was talking about. What I recognized in me was a kind of loneliness. It wasn't an unrequitedness. It's a loneliness, not just to feel witnessed, but to know that there's a someone else that I share a connection with that's doing the witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that adds a different spice to experience, because by someone witnessing it, you close a circuit of consciousness in the universe, and now it lives in two points of resonance, and now it can be a thing. It can now exist in the world.
Mm-hmm. So, is there anything else on a closing
note? No, it's I'm blown away. I'm going to have to do some of the editing because, you know, I was so excited. I was just piling in. But I'll probably take some of those things out. I might actually just leave them in. But it's because I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah, why can't you be excited?
Well, oh my God. The only thing that, and this loneliness thing, when somebody else understands and sees and gets it, yeah. You suddenly realize, yes, man, I knew this was a thing. I freaking knew it. I'm so glad that two people are going to see it in the world, because it makes me so happy. I'm so glad that this is the truth about life. I'm so glad this was the happier truth and not the other ugly thing. Fucking yes.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, okay, now it makes sense. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I was like,
because you're also going into this exploration of the divine always like a child. You know, you're also maturing up to what your spiritual expectation could be. And like, you're still going respectfully bowing to the experience, and only when you figure it out do you realize how much greater it was. You know, we make these very careful steps.
Yeah.
Very careful steps. Amazing. So is there anything else I'd like to ask? Well, you know, is there any other ways that people could pay for your services, like keynote speaking, things that don't lend themselves to that ecosystem, you know, things that the ecosystem would serve? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I do a lot of teaching and speaking, and I, you know, how it is, like, you're supposed to have a keynote and all that. And I would rather be in the need or the exploration with the person. So if someone thought that I would be a good person to bring on to a certain thing, I would rather be in a conversation with that person and say, hey, who are the audience? What do they need? What's their, like, what do you see? And then tailor something particularly. Like, I have all the things. But I'd like to tailor them to an audience or a specific thing. So I'm open to.
Yes. Any of them.
And it's really, I like to also, why I like doing that is I like making it like fun and exciting for people, where it's like they get to laugh about this because it's so big and heady. So I do like to put in my humor in there to make it palatable and workable. So that's something I
people love comedy to touch difficult things. Yes,
that's what I love to do. But yeah, absolutely. And there's just always, you know, and other ways that I support people in coaching and stuff like that, if it's outside of the format of a membership. But I'm very open to collaborative. I'm in a very fun place in my life. You know, I want people to go on journeys with me. I'm producing journeys to Guatemala, and I'm going to have a soul journey to Sweden. Come to Sweden.
We want to come.
Yeah. So there's,
and this is just such a
beginning. You know, this is just the beginning, I think, Rocco.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. You know, when you play computer games, there's this thing called fog of war. Like, there's a big map out there, but you can't see all of it because you haven't walked there once yet. And a big fog of war just lifted for me talking about marketing and suddenly understanding the the elegance of genius in that space that I would have toddled to clumsily over a very, very long time to understand that by myself. And that's not a that's not a light thing to say. That carries weight, that statement. Mm-hmm. So geez, man. Wow. So the public speaking is a beautiful idea. I'm assuming that if somebody said, "Oh man, we just want to hear you speak. It's too big of an institution. Can you maybe just give us a canned keynote?" You would do that.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, there's a spectrum where that dream of yours, where it actually works beautifully. And I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, that is like a really integrated keynote.
Yeah, for sure. Really? I mean, and I have a keynote, like alignment, why alignment marketing is the future of marketing. Why, you know, I can do those things also. It's easy. This is easy for me. this is like this is my backyard, you know, so it's. I just love taking people on like little excursions in there and talk about
that. Isn't that just the purple belt resume item, you know, for somebody who is doing aligned work? If you cannot deliver a natural keynote about this essence that you represent, you're probably not ready.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people have been telling me, "Rock, I do a keynote. Rock, I do anything." Fuck all the keynotes. I don't need to keynote people this. I've got important shit to tell them. Okay, then tell them that you've got important shit to tell them. Like, and actually you have to put out a keynote. And now I understand why.
Yeah.
Because like the world's not ready for you if you're not ready to explain yourself to an auditorium. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for the level that we're talking about it, you know, I think there's plenty of people who can start smaller with other things, but not, yeah, you know, you mapping a massive territory of human consciousness and, you know, psychological repair and all this stuff for a long time. So for you, I think that's true and very appropriate. Like, that's true. Not everybody has that, you know, they don't have those gifts or needs.
Oh, right. They don't have something unique. They've just got something powerful.
They're just in the one-on-one. So that's fine. But I do think, but imagine what the opposite of that would be. That's why I think social media is actually like, if you use, okay, this is a little last ending thing where when you understand that social media is your playground and practice ground to get succinct and to get your thoughts across, and that it's just, it doesn't matter how many likes or how many followers or anything. It's just a way for you to get clarity and articulate certain aspects of your, of the essence of your work. That's all it is. And you can delete those things. Whatever was bad, you know, if you start on January 1st, 2024, and you do one a week, just use it as a way to get clarity and articulate your work. And
of course, you can just, basically, it's a write-off.
Yes. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just your practice runs. And it had to be live practice runs because then the stakes were high. Right. And that's when you were really learning.
Yes. And that's why I'm like, of course.
Everybody waits until they're absolutely ready to speak. And they can't be ready to speak until they've practiced speaking.
Exactly. So it's just a way to be with yourself. And maybe one person watched that first 10 and then 15 and then whatever. But by doing it, it's like the same thing as the analogy of being in the arena. Like when you're in the dojo and you're like practicing the arm lock and lift, you're just doing it. But doing it publicly is a different story. Because you know what you're saying? What the real message is, I have something to say.
Oh my God.
I value what I'm saying.
Dude, it's basically the principle of why Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is so popular, because you're getting better really quickly at extremely intelligent functional stuff because you're testing live.
Exactly. Yes. So it's like you, it's a way, like if you can get away, this is okay. Part two, Rocco, social media. That's next time. We're going to talk about social media and the whole thing.
Yes, oh my God. There is so much.
Teasing to be continued.
We're going to have a number of these because I had no idea it was this nuanced, ingenious. I thought it was beautiful, intuitively beautiful, but I didn't understand the simplicity on the far side of complexity. I hadn't understood the complexity.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that is, wow. How can you have an eyes wide open life actually on this planet if you don't have an eyes wide open perspective on what marketing is and could be?
Yeah, I mean, for people who are in the entrepreneurship vein, I think that's, we have to go this route.
You know, God, I've just seen something that maybe you haven't seen yet. For our species to survive, being as multivariate as we are across so many complex areas of emotional genius, talent, skill, etc., the only way we are going to be able to sustain numbers this big in a conscious, aligned way is if everyone can appropriately market their need and their talents.
I mean, it does. Yeah, I does think it applies like any good. If you're going to do as above, so below, I mean, that has to be true.
The rest of the world have to be able to understand what you, not just what you want, but what you need. So then we can know how to love and care for you. But we also need to know what your value is so that we can make sure you're giving as much as you can.
Yes, because that's where you're going to find your
value. That's the heart of giving and receiving.
This is restoring dignity, what you're talking about now.
And it restores parity in the giving and receiving cycle, which means this is now when love is happiest, when every Om Mani Padme Hum, everybody's in on it. We all belong. You're all getting enough. Yes.
Yeah.
The golden rule. What would I want? You know, I would want to do unto others because that's what I would want.
Yes.
That's it. Yes.
Yes.
I am bejazzled. Truly, this is a profound work of genius. And I've got some skill in writing, as you know.
Let's do something. I look forward to playing in together in all the ways and enhancing each other's world in all the ways. That's what makes me the happiest. I am less, you know, it's like a dance. You know, when you're doing salsa, you know, that it's so satisfying because you're dancing with a partner I'm all about that, you know, that's where there's a richness and a fullness. So I think that we can definitely attain that when we do it together. It makes it more full, it makes it more rich, it makes it more
playful.
Powerful experience. Yeah, playful and fun. So thank you, Rocco, for having me. I appreciate you.
You've blown my mind, honestly. Look, I'm just going to say, like, I'm at a loss for words, but I actually know what I want to say, but I'm going to cut the call, the recording, and I'll try and wrap up so much for the listeners. But finally, where can people get hold of you?
So the best way is karnalivenow.com. So that's my first name, KarnaLiv as in Victor, NAU.com. And there, everything lives there. And then I also have an Instagram where I play with all these concepts. That's _alignment marketing and another _ after that. And yeah, I just want to be, I'm open to collaborating with people, doing lives together. You know, I'm doing the funnest lives. I'm just having the best time on Instagram. Honestly, I'm just connecting with all these cool people and we're doing lives and it's so fun. So anyway, that I'm inviting people who are resonant to this message, who want to be in a conversation or explore things together, to get a hold of me. And the thing is, what's cool too, Rocco, is that by now I have such a vast and extensive network, and I've curated all these high integrity experts that are like the beautiful hearts, mind, and soul, that even if I'm not your person, like probably if you're in the business world, I have some connection for you, whether it's SEO or social media or web development or, you know, podcasting, all that stuff. So I also want to be like a resource for people, for highly curated experts. So that's another thing I want to start putting it out in the world.
Boutique consulting sort of thing.
Yeah. I guess. So, but it's all, and I just put them together, and like ever, I win because there's a winning, you know.
Yes, so yes. Yes, I love that. Yes, like matchmaking. Yeah.
Yes, matchmaker of business matchmaker kind of.
Oh, that is so beautiful, man.
I love it. So that's how.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Wow, okay. I'll wrap it up for all of you. But Connor, thank you so much for making the time. Stick around. I'm going to stop recording and we can do an off-air debrief. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I think this conversation that you've just listened to there is so poignant and so timely now. You know, in my own work, it's such an important thing for me. I really feel like I'm ready now to push messaging and product and content out into the world. And I'm absolutely looking for the kind of people that can be the most powerful and meaningful recipients of that. And I need help as well. I really do. And I've been looking down the barrel of this horrific cesspool of marketing funnels and bro marketing and Instagram algorithms. It's so sick and so unwell that every single time I get close to it, I just turn away and I'm hitting a brick wall, as I'm sure so many of you are, that are trying to do something meaningful, powerful, to share your gifts and connect with people that matter in this way. And honestly, I can think of no better way of investing in. Look, you're gonna have to invest time, money, energy, attention. You're gonna have to learn lessons. But if I was you, I would so much more rather do it with someone like Kana and in that space that Kana has created. So again, if you're looking to make contact with Kana, and I'm going to have Kana back on the podcast, so obviously I'm going to have Kana back. But if you're looking to get hold of Kana, her website address is karnalivnau. KarnaLiveNow.com, KarnaLiveNau.com. And I think that's the best way to get hold of Kana. I know she's also on Substack. You can find that Substack, again, KarnaLiveNow, KarnaLiveNau.substack.com. And for those of you who don't know, Substack is really where it's at the moment. If you're trying to follow people that you used to follow on Facebook, Instagram, these kinds of places, and the platforms are just making you sick, the healthiest way to follow people whose content you appreciate and value, this sort of de facto home for intelligent writers that are, you know, have something to say, actually, is Substack. So if anyone's got any questions for Kana, obviously you can direct them directly to her via the Substack or her website. But if you've got questions that you'd like us to cover in the podcast, just email me, info@eyeswideopenlife.org. Now, speaking about marketing and this project of engagement, seeing and being seen, etc., I've just recently put up a piece on Substack. It's called The Cost of Our Allowing, and it talks about this. The subtitle is, "There is a devouring cancer in this world that wants to leech soul from everything. It thrives on apathy and a lack of discernment." And I'll actually dedicate an entire podcast episode to this. And the point of it is basically that the algorithms have already beaten us, but it's not too late. And the context of this article is about the fact that we keep expecting creatives and guides to work it all out and to find more creative and ingenious ways to find us in this labyrinth of synthetic junk that we find online. Now, the thing is, there's nothing more than they can actually do, because we are not meeting them halfway. You know, we open Instagram and we open Facebook and we just sort of doom scroll. And if something doesn't get fed to us, the person that's crafting all the effort, all the beauty on their account, if the algorithm doesn't deem them worthy, nobody sees their stuff, stuff that you value and you enjoy. I mean, I've got over 3,000 people that follow my account on Instagram, and, you know, it doesn't even get more than 15 or 20 likes on a bad day, whereas something far more trivial that I put out on a good day will get 100. Why is that the case? It's got nothing to do with the quality of the content from one day to the next. It's got to do whether it's your turn on the algorithm or not. And the algorithm is not looking for highbrow, high quality connection and engagement. It's looking for numbers. That system is addicted to our addiction. Now, there's nothing more that these creatives and the guides and the people who you actually want to hear from, there's nothing more that they can do, these artists and other people, because you are not meeting them halfway. We're not meeting them halfway. We are so worried about artificial intelligence, but the truth is we only really have to worry about artificial intelligence if we aren't applying any human effort and intelligence. You know, I paraphrase Tristan Harris so often on this, about us looking for this moment when mind-blowing artificial intelligence is going to supersede all human strengths and intelligence. But we've missed this earlier moment that actually already came, where very mind-numbing technology is undermining our human weaknesses. And it's taking everything from us that matters to us, beauty and connection, which is precisely where we derive meaning. Now, it's time to start questioning your algorithms. It's time to ask yourself what the world will look like when the cogs and tumblers of machines that never sleep have ushered all the eyes and ears towards the peddlers of mass-produced baubles and cheap, shiny tech. And that's exactly what you're getting on social media. And where these algorithms have ushered all the eyes towards that and away from these deeper wells that touch our souls and nourish us. So I'll do a whole separate episode on that. But really, this is what we're talking about. And in that light, in that vein, what I'd like you to do, please, is if you're getting value from this, follow me on Substack. Comment, like the things that you enjoy. It's so infuriating. I've got beautiful friends and people that constantly text and message me about how much they're enjoying an episode or how much they enjoy an article that I wrote. I love the feedback. Thank you so much. Don't send it to me directly. It's not helping. Please put the effort in. Give the feedback and the reviews on the platforms where they are, because that is where you can meet a creative like me halfway. That is one of the ways that you can do it. So please, I'm imploring you, actually, if you are taking any value from this and from these episodes, please let me know about it and let other people know by leaving a review on your podcast app of choice. This is one of the ways that we can exercise our will and make our will felt by leaning against the default actions of these algorithms and by putting a bit of effort into following pages we that matter to us and leaving reviews so that they can finally creep their way up these infernal bloody algorithms and be seen and heard by a lot more people where it's going to do some good. So, and until next time, take care.